If you got your Bible, Joshua chapter number 6. Appreciate Sister Jarvis playing the piano for us. We take a lot of things for granted, people do. And I appreciate her talent. Wish I could do that. And wish I could play the piano. I've got big enough fingers, I could probably about cover every key at one time. But I appreciate the people having talent and using their talent. If you got your Bible, Joshua chapter number 6. Familiar scripture. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Did you hear that? None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given thee into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all the men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And on the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they had made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. I like that. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall send up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. And they blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall you make any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then you shall shout. We'll read on verse 15 and 16. It said, And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Verse 16, And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse number 20, So the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat, so that the people went out into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I want to preach tonight on just a simple thought. And this is a familiar text if you're a Bible reader, Sunday school teacher, or a student about the walls of Jericho falling flat. I want to preach on now on your wall is about to fall. On your wall is about to fall. Here in this Joshua in the city here, we read there in verse number 5, it said, And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Verse number 20, because of all their obedience to God. That's how it happened. There were steps of action in order to bring forth victory. And that's the way it always is. You can't sit back idle and gain the victory. You must do something in order to have the victory. I said, you must do something in order to have the victory. It's not going to fall in your lap. They went and played the ball games. They just by going out, standing on the out. On the court did not gain them any victories at all. But somebody had to push. Somebody had to grab the ball. Somebody had to be able to shoot that thing and make it in that hoop in order to win any game that they was going to win. But here this victory that Joshua won, it was won because there were steps of action that the man of God had told him to take. The man of God had directly told him that you must do this and blow the trumpets. We need 7 The priest, you got to do it at a certain time, walk around the wall. one time for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times. Then when I say, is what he said, then whenever I say to shout, then you shout. Not wait, not early. Don't wait too late to shout. A lot of people wait too late to shout. A lot of people wait too late. They wait until the service is over and God's already moved. And they think, man, I should have moved. Too late. You lost your blessing. You lost your opportunity to shout. Go home and shout. But it ain't going to be as good as it would have been here. But I want to read, I'm preaching tonight on your wall is about to fall. A wall is a barrier or a blockade or an enclosure, a divider, a state of defeat or a failure or ruin. You've heard the term being up against the wall. That means feeling trapped. You've gone as far as you could go. You've been in that shape. You didn't know which step to take. You came to this wall, and it seemed like that's as far as you can go. You've been pressed to the max, if you will. Your hands are tied. They're extreme or desperate position. Joshua here was in a place where he wanted the victory, and the city had already been given to him by God. And God told him, this is your city. These people belong to you, but you're going to have to take steps of action in order to have this victory, in order to gain the victory you need. You're going to have to go up against a wall. You're going to have to face a wall. And in the Christian experience, there's been many walls in people's lives that they've had to face. And I don't know what your walls have been, but I have faced a few walls in my lifetime that I had to come up against. And there was some of them I did not realize that I was going to be able to make them across. And I look back, and it wasn't because any good thing that I'd done that I surpassed over them walls. It was because the grace of God. It was because the mercy of the Lord. And the Bible says it's because the grace and mercy of the Lord that I had not been consumed. I came up across some walls that I thought for sure my Christian life would just be a bunch of bed of roses. But I found throughout the bed of roses, there's a lot of thorns along the way. There's a lot of troubles. But you can be an overcomer because greater is he that's inside you than he that's in this world. And there are blockades as a Christian that you've got to overcome. As a Christian, if your wall is going to fall, you're going to have to be able to stand, having done all to stand. Stand there for because the winds are going to blow against you. The troubles are going to rise. I remember when I first got saved, that I realized at first, the first couple months, it didn't seem like no problems at all. Whenever we got to school and we started talking to people, friends that I once had turn their backs on me, and they'd call us preacher boys and this and that. That's all right. That's all right now, but then it kind of hurt. Then I wasn't a preacher then. They was my friends then, but now I look back and I said, so what now? But there was just a wall that I had to overcome. But I was up against the wall, and I'd come to a place where it seemed like I could not get over it. But I'm telling you tonight, your wall that you're facing, no matter how high it looks, you can overcome that wall. You can surpass that wall. And by faith in God, you can cause that wall to fall. And you say, I can't do it. No, you may not be able to do it on your own. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, you can cause that wall to fall. By the Spirit of the Lord, we can loop over a wall. That's what the Bible says. In Hebrews 11 and 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. Russia had a wall. You remember that? Russia had a wall, and it's called the Berlin Wall. And that wall was a wall. Mentioned this other day in Sunday school, and I'd already had this kind of cooking about the Berlin Wall, and it was a dividing between the communists and between the free, that Berlin Wall, and it was 96 miles long. It was trenched all around. It was 12 foot tall. We got a man claiming that he's going to build a wall. I don't know much about that. It had 302 towers to guard. It was called an iron curtain. It was also called a wall of shame. But remember, there was a president that we had, and thank God we had a man that could preside and do things and make right decisions. The man was by the name of Ronald Reagan. He came to Gorbachev, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And I'm here to tell you, sister, brother, tear down that wall. Whatever's keeping you, whatever barrier you've got, whatever's in between you and God where you can't get revival, you need to tear that wall down. If you need to enter into your prayer closet. If it's something between your brother and sister, I don't know. I'm not trying to pick any fights tonight. But if there's any situation you've got that is keeping you from experiencing a move of God, that's a wall between you and God. And you must allow that wall to fall. And it can fall, and it will fall by faith in God. And this separation, your wall may be sickness. It may be doubt. It may be depression. It may be that you've tried to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've got so close and you've got discouraged because you got so close to you did not receive and you went away discouraged. That becomes a wall. I've been there. I've been there whenever people worship God and begin to magnify God and seeking the Holy Ghost and others receive and I did not receive. That's a horrible place to be. But then you begin to pray, Lord, maybe the next night. And it wasn't long after that God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. But there's different walls. The Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood. She had a wall. For 12 long years she had that wall. An issue of blood. But you know what she done? She didn't go in town and say, this is the way it's always going to be. We're never going to experience revival. We're never going to experience the move of God. Our children's all just going to backslide. We're going to lose them all. No! It don't have to be that way. But she made her mind up. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch some part of his robe, she began to press through the crowd. And she began to touch him. She pressed. And this is not pressing. But pressing is a forward movement. A reaching after. A longing. If I could just touch him. And that's what we must do in order for the wall to fall. You must touch him. You'll not leave the same if you touch him. If you touch him, the walls are going to fall. If you touch him, the chains of darkness are going to be broke. If you touch him, that joy is going to flow like a river inside your heart one more time. When was the last time the baptism of the Holy Ghost flowed out of you like a river? There's a wall that keeps us. It dams that up where it don't move. We must tear down the wall. Let the wall fall. And she pressed through the crowd and touched his garment. The man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 long years faced a wall. What was that wall? Somebody else. Every time I try to get in, somebody else gets in before me. 38 long years, Brother John Martin, in that condition. I try to get in, but somebody else already gets in. The water's troubled. The angel of the Lord come down in a certain season and troubled the water. And the first one in received what they needed. What if we came to church? What if we came to church and it was only one blessing for us, for the whole congregation? Would you wait to be second? Would you? Or would you? There's a lot of people, I prefer my brother. I prefer my sister. I'm sorry. I prefer you. But if I'm needing a blessing, you're going to have to move out of my way. Because I'm not going, if there was only one blessing, I want it. Not to hoard it up and keep it to myself, but I could be touched and used of the Lord. But this man for 38 long years, at the pool of Bethesda, he was carried daily. And no man to help him. It seemed like, and that's the way it seems like a lot of times we ain't got nobody to help us. There ain't nobody going to help us. But a lot of times we need to look at ourselves. I must help myself. If I can't get you to help me or you to help me, I must help myself. There's some things you can do on your own. I said, there's some things you can do all by yourself. Surprise. I may have just clued you in on something. I don't know. But there's some things that you don't have to have everybody beside you to worship God. We don't have to have a sweet, fast song going to worship God. We don't have to have the slow tearjerker to worship God. There was times in my Christian life, I remember getting out there in the backyard, Brother Greg. No song at all. just me and the stars and the moon worshiping God. And they said, you're going crazy. I said, if I'm going crazy, leave me alone. I'm enjoying the trip. They ain't nothing like it, worshiping God, magnifying the Lord. But there was time, this man for 38 long years was in this condition. He was under such an attack. There was a blockade. Something kept him from getting what he needed. What's keeping you? What's keeping us? I mean, this church is built like a funnel. And it pours in. And God could pour it in this place. And he does. And he visits us. You say it's a funnel, but it's upside down. I just realized. But I've always said this, and my wife and people make fun of me. I said, this is how you receive the Holy Ghost, just like you're here. And I asked them, I said, what is this? They said, you got your hands raised up. And I said, no, I'm a funnel. I said, I got my arms like you're here. And I said, he can pour it in. And when you've got a funnel, you can get it in a whole lot better than you can just pouring it on the motor and the motor block and everywhere else. Make a mess of it. But God don't make a mess of his Spirit. But he's willing to pour it out, Brother Ken Taylor. But there's walls that we face. And God, I don't know what your wall is. I don't know how long you faced your wall. I don't know how long you've butted up against your wall and you've pushed against the wall and you've shoved against the wall. I don't know the time frame. It may have been weeks and it may have been months and it may have been years since you got what you needed. But tonight, your wall is about to fall. I'm trying to encourage you to let you know, hey, we're headed for revival. And God's going to do some things. But we don't have to wait until revival services for God to do it. God's willing to do it tonight. Daniel prayed for 21 days. And the messenger of Satan had buffeted his soul. No answer. You may have been praying. That's just a little wall there because God's listening to your prayer. His ears is open to a prayer and to a cry. That wall is going to fall. There's going to come a day you're going to press through and you're going to pray and God's going to answer you. And when God answers you, you're going to be able to tell everybody around you, look what the Lord has done. God healed my body. God saved my soul. God reached down and picked my children up out of the mire. God gave me joy where I didn't seem like there was any joy. God caused the sun to shine again. When it looked like the sun wouldn't ever shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the clouds. He can do that for you. When it looks like the darkness and the wall's so high, when it looks like there's no way you can ever touch God, no way you can ever gain victory, young person, you experienced it at youth camp, but it seems like we came back and there's a dryness, but it ain't no shortage on God. It's not that God's got any shortage of his power, but it's up to us to go after what God has. The wall must fall. Naaman the leprosy, his wall was pride. Go down, Naaman. Dip in that river. Dip in the river Jordan's dipped seven times. You mean I'm going to have to go down in that muddy, nasty river
in order to get what I need?
Yeah, that's how you get what you need. You've got to do exactly. And the Bible says he went down there and he dipped seven times. We know the story. And his skin came back on him as a baby's skin. Brand new. God can make you new again. Your situation, it may be an old situation. But God can give you new joy. God can give you a new burden. God can give you a new heart. Amen. God can give you a song in the midnight hour. He can tear down that wall. You can pass this mountain long enough. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. It wasn't my hammer that done it. It wasn't all my pushing that done it. It was just my faith in God that God was going to move that mountain. God, I've got a valley. I've got this mountain in my way. What am I going to do? God, I've got a bill. I've got a trouble. I've got a sickness. I've got things coming up. Lord, what are we going to do? I'm going to trust God to tear down that wall. I'm going to trust God that that wall is going to fall down flat and build a highway just like that. He can do it. He can make that wall a highway where you can come out of that valley. Hallelujah. They said that the four lepers, and I'm trying to hurry, trying to encourage you, four leprous men were sitting by the gate. There in Samaria, or Syria, I believe it was. Four lepers were sitting there. And they said, we can go into the city and we'll die. If we sit here, we're going to die. But they began to talk one another. And they said, why sit ye here until we die? That was their wall. What are we going to do? What's the decision we're going to make? Are we going to sit here and die? Or are we going to go through that city? I mean, we're in bad condition here. Look at us. We've got leprosy. We've got a horrible disease. There's no joy about us. The joy of the Lord's our strength. We have no joy about us. We're trying to make a decision. Are we going to sit here and die, or are we going to get up? The Bible says they got up. Thank God for somebody to get up. Thank God for somebody to make their mind up on what they're going to do. There's a lot of people who don't know how to make their mind up. They go to everybody and their aunt and uncle. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? When we need to get into prayer closet, God will speak to you. God will direct your path. But these four lepers, they finally got up. And as they got up and began to walk toward that city, the Bible says that God made their footsteps sound like horses and chariots. And the enemy heard them. And when the enemy heard them, the enemy fled. These men were starving, Brother James Hacker. These men were dying. These men were in a horrible condition. We're going to die here or die there. I'd rather die trying. You hear me? I'd rather die trying to have a revival than not have a revival at all. I'd rather try to believe God. There's a lot of modern day people say that there's no sense preaching revivals. There's no sense preaching that there's going to be a move of God. I tell you, they're a liar. Because the Bible says in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's still in the book. It's still in the Word of God. And I still believe it. And you can experience a genuine revival. Well, Brother Huck talked about revivals where one man, I remember him telling a story where one man got so hungry for the Holy Ghost, there were like 50 or 60 people down on 4th Street that got baptism of the Holy Ghost. This one man got so hungry, and he was living in Ohio, I believe it was, and said he didn't have no transportation. And the man hitchhiked all the way from Ohio because he wanted a move of God. He heard that God was moving at First Pentecostal Church in London, Kentucky. And when he came, Brother Huff said, the man came and sat in the pew and said when he sat in the pew, he came up during the service and didn't even wait for the song service to go on and said that God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Was that just an old story that we told years ago that God's still the same God? I loved hearing them old stories. And that's the backbone of the church. That's the backbone of the Christian experience. We must hold on to them things. But when we can't just rely on them things because you must have that same experience. God's willing to move. I'll tell this. There was two, you probably heard this before. Two frogs fell in a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The side of the can was shining and steep, and cream was deep and cold. What's the use, cried frog number one. It's fate. There's no help around. Goodbye, my friend, he said to number two. And then he drowned. But the number two, the sterner of the stuff, dog paddled in surprise. Then while he wiped his face and dried his creamy eyes, said, I'll swim a while. It won't hurt, won't help the world to see another frog dead. An hour or two, he kicked and he swam and he swam and he kicked. Not once did he stop to mutter. But he kicked and he swam and he swam and kicked till he hopped out on the other side of that can of butter. What are you going to do? You say, that's funny. It is funny. Well, what are you going to do? You're just going to throw in the towel? Let somebody else do it? I have no more burden. I have no more joy. You're going to have to do some kicking. You're going to have to do some swimming, son, brother, sister, in order to get out of the condition you're in. That won't ain't going to fall on its own. You can huff and puff and the house ain't going to blow in. You're going to have to pray. My mama used to say there was an old song, and I need the words to it if you've got it. She said the old song was, "I pray my way out of trouble." I don't know the words to that song, but I remember my mama telling me that was one of her favorite songs, "I pray my way out of trouble." If your wall's going to fall, you're going to have to learn how to pray. Resist the devil. Your wall must fall. You've came up against this wall. You've can pass this mountain long enough. You can keep on going in circles all you want. You're not making no headway. But this wall that you faced, it may be a personal wall. You may have been hurt by the church. You may have been hurt by somebody. But that's just a wall. But you can't let that come between you and God. Your wall's got to fall. It can fall tonight. And you can leave out here with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can even leave out here with a wave inside your heart. And they'll look at you at work tomorrow and say, "What happened to you?" And you can say, "I got under the spout where the glory came out. God revived me. God broke the chains. God broke the wall down. I kept praying and there was a wall. I kept believing God. It seemed like there was a wall. I could not. There was a hindrance. I felt trapped." As it says, the meaning was being trapped. You've gone as far as you could. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in that shape. You came up against this wall and you feel like, "I've gone as far as I can go. I don't know what to do. I don't know where my help is." The Bible says, David said, "I will look unto the hills from whence coming my help." My help coming from the Lord. A lot of times we have troubles. We look like this right here. We start groping. Wondering, what am I going to do? There's no answer down here. No answer. All this is, when you look down, all it is earth. Earth never did give me any good answers. "I will look under the hills. Lift up thine head." Once you lift up your head, you begin to realize there's more to this problem. There's a greater answer. And my wall is about to fall. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what situation you're in tonight. I don't know what you came in here like. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But I believe with all my heart there's some people in here that got some walls that they've come up against here lately. And you've been wondering, what am I going to do? This is a barrier. This is a blockade. This is a state of defeat that I've been in. The devil will get you in such a state of defeat that you don't know where victory is. And you don't know which way is left or right. They say them airplanes when they get up in the air, and it said they can turn so many ways, they call it vertigo. And so when you get vertigo, you don't know whether what's up or what's down. Except looking at your instrument panel, then you realize where you're headed. Your wall is going to fall. Your wall must fall. I want somebody to come piano, please. So I ought to give an altar call. I don't know what your situation is, but God knows. God knows when you walked in here what kind of need you had. And you're not here by chance. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why I preach this message. I didn't preach this message just because it's one I had on the shelf or one that. But I had a burden when I preached this message. I'm throwing out the lifeline for somebody. I preached on one time on the rope of hope. And I brought a rope to church with me. You say, "You're crazy." Yeah, maybe. But I threw that rope out there. Beside a guy that I knew he was in trouble. And he'd look over at it. Look back up. Look over. Look back up. His home was in trouble. He was on drugs. He'd left his wife many a times. Three children, good children. I threw that rope out and it just dangled right there beside him. And I was going to pull that rope in. If you grabbed a hold of it, I was going to say, God's going to help you come to this altar. A lot of times we come and God will speak to us and we'll just wash it away. We'll just let it go downstream. You know where the worst place to be in the house of God is? On the back row. You say, why? Because that one on the first row, you know what he says? He grabs it and he says, that's not for me. And the second row says, that's not for me. Third row says, that's not for me. You know where it all goes to? Back row. So on the back, if you're on the back row tonight, you're getting this. This is for you, apparently. It's for us. But your wall is going to fall. Your wall is about to fall. This wall here in Germany, this Berlin Wall, thank God somebody was able to stand up and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. It's gone on long enough. Brother, sister, your situation, you need to look at it and say, this is going on long enough. I'm not going to let one more day go by without touching God. I'm not going to let one more day go by without praying. I'm not going to let one more day go by without praying in the Holy Ghost. I still believe you can pray in the Holy Ghost. I still believe you can pray through the old-fashioned salvation where you don't leave bound, where you don't leave with a bunch of trash, but you can bring it all to the altar. Jesus still sets men free. He still breaks every fetter. He has the key to your condition. I don't know what your condition is, but He has the key to your condition. And He was able to loose you and set you free. Then whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Then you can sing rejoicing, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. By love divine, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him, the song says, I now resign. How about it tonight? You're here? Everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, please. You're here tonight, you're facing a wall. You've tried to pray, and you feel like it's a hopeless condition. It's not hopeless with God. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I said, He cares about your condition. He cares about your troubles. He cares about your situation. You say, it's a dark situation. God sees through the darkness. God walks the dark nights. I don't know where you're at tonight, but maybe you came in here and you're as far as you can go. And you've said it within the last couple of days. I've gone as far as I can go. I don't know what else I'm going to do. If you're here tonight and you'd raise your hand and say, Brother Maynard, I'm in that condition. You've described me. I haven't had a move of God in a long time. But I'm needing the move of God. I haven't felt God in a long time. But I need to feel Him. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing not to feel God. It's a horrible condition to be in. But tonight, that wall is about to fall. Where are you at? Where are you at in this sanctuary tonight? Would there be any takers tonight and say, it's me? You'd raise your hand and say, it's me. I'm in that condition. You've been preaching to me. You ain't preaching. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. I'm in trouble. Nobody knows the walls I'm facing. Nobody knows how I'm surrounded by these troubles. God knows. I can't see it. But God sees it. You're here tonight. And you'd come to this altar. Would it be any takers tonight? You want that wall to fall? I'll tell you how to make that wall fall tonight. If you come around this altar and you throw your hands toward heaven and say, God, I resign myself to you. I give all to you. I belong to you. I surrender. Would there be anybody who'd like to surrender tonight to God? Say, Lord, here I am. I'm the one the shepherd left the fold to find. I'm in trouble, God. I haven't felt a move of your spirit in a long time. I'm in trouble. Do you realize where you're at? Without a man without God is on his own. You need God. You're going to need him in the morning, brother. You're going to need him in the morning, sister. Anybody here tonight? You need a move of God in your heart. You faced a wall. You've got troubles. All right. What about the rest of us? Can we come around this altar and raise our hands and God, I've got some things that's between me and you. Nobody else knows about it. It don't have to be a sin. It can just be a stumbling block. It can just be something that keeps you making connection with God. Could you bring yourself to the Lord tonight? Say, God, cause this wall to fall that you might receive glory. Cause my wall to fall. God, I need you tonight. God, I bring myself to you. I need revival. I can't wait until another month or two down the road. Send revival in my heart. Not only for my sake, for my family's sake. Send revival, God. Wake me up, Lord.